This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 22nd of May, 1962. The title of this lecture is Administration of Courses. This tape is 64 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Well, you, I see you're late again. This is what, the 20, what? 22nd of May, AD 12, St. Hill Special Briefing Course, first lecture. This lecture concerns administration of academy and St. Hill courses, which has something to do with you. Not that you may be teaching them someday, which you will, but you need this data here and now because you're in the midst, you have been in the midst of a change, and you are at the end of the change, but you have not entered into the solid fact. Now, first and foremost, we ought to take up the fact of whether or not I ought to keep on lecturing to you, and whether or not we just shouldn't just drop my lectures.
No. No.
All right, that settled that. All right. The data which you should have about training is that this planet, this particular oblate spheroid, that high tone enough? Earth, you know, is not a sphere. It's always been a little bit ashamed of this fact. Somewhere or another, it got in a spin, you know. And it got its north and south poles kind of flat. And it got kind of swollen out a little bit at the equator. And nobody's ever audited it. Terrible. I get on that very easily because it has something to do with my goal. Anyhow, I mean the first one up. But this planet has actually never developed a system of education. That's the first thing which you have to face when you suddenly find yourself in the midst of trying to educate. In the first place, they don't even have a definition of education. There is no definition of education. As close as there is to a science of education is found in the logics of Scientology. Those logics, there are about 15, something like that. And if you look at those, you will find out that they are an outline of the whole science of education. But there is no definition for this thing called education, or has not been. I worked on this some little time ago and was going to write a textbook on education. And I kind of didn't bother. That's about it. Because the outline is right there in the logics. If you want to know what education is all about, why, you can put a whole science of education together right straight out of the logics. There they sit. It's just waiting to fill up. With this one single difference. Now, let me give you not something you're going to quote word for word, but let me give you an understanding of what education is. Education is basically the relay of an idea, concept, datum of some kind or another, from one being to another being. You see, that in its broadest sense, it is a communication. No more than that. But at the other end in education, there is an insistence on receipt. So if you just take the definition of communication and then put an insistence on receipt, you'll get education that it is normally short. That's not far enough yet, see? But it stops at that point. See, Earth education. look at the universities and look at these schools, and people go to these schools and they take examinations, and they have shown they receive it. They've shown they've received it, see? That's as far as it goes. And then they give them a tie. I was going to wear an old plaid gambler's tie down here tonight, show you, with an old school tie. It's like the Seaforth Highlanders or something. But I haven't been a member of them for years, so it would be not for lifetimes, actually. But that's what you get. Now, you come into training in Scientology and you run into all of your habit patterns and expectancies, don't you see? Basic education. They caught you young, man. They caught you young. You were there at your mammy's knee saying, Abe Thay Day, lifetime after lifetime, you know? And you get pretty good at it after a while. I could read in this life when I was about 3.5 years old. And then I went to school, and they kept insisting that I learn how to read. You know, I never learned how to read in school. I could read, only nobody ever heard that. So there's no ever any backflow ever accepted in one of these things. You see, you can read. So then if anybody tries to teach you how to read, and you won't learn how to read, and you can read, why, nobody ever finds out about that. Okay? So you had it. So let's say we're teaching a course on how to be a rocket jockey, how to fly a Mark 14 interplanetary scout ship. Okay, and we're running a course on this. And we've got somebody, and they had Mark 18s in their system, and he knows all about flying one of these things, you know. Well, that's fine, you know, here's this, here's that, and the instructor keeps saying, now, just a minute, hold it down now. Now, that is your circumlocutor. And the fellow says, yes, I know. And you pull it like this, and you go like this, and so forth, you just vertical takeoffs. Yeah, well, now, what I do want to know is, you've got a couple of dials here that were taken off the later, and the instructor says, now, just a minute, that's the circumlocutor. See? That guy has a hell of a time, see? Well, this is a rough deal because there's never any guarantee that there is a backflow. See? You can never convince the instructor that you can already circumlocute a Mark 18 and you want it a little bit modified. You want to know, the only thing you're trying to find out is, what is this dial? It wasn't on a Mark 18. And they got later models, they took them off, see? And what's this damn dial here, you see? You don't get that till the third year. There you are, stuck for 3 years, you see? This happens to you a few times, you get allergic to education. Well, now, in Scientology, this is carried, although this is understood to be the case in most Earth education, it's never stated. Matter of fact, none of this is ever stated. It's always, education is the worship of the unknowable, or something. You've got your communication formula, guarantee of receipt, and now in Scientology, something no medical school ever teaches, no psychiatric school ever teaches, no engineering school ever teaches. And God help a nuclear physicist school if they teached it. Guy's got to be able to do something with it. That's the missing step in Earth education, see? They say, now, now you sit around the amphitheater, now I take the scalpel, you see, and we slit open the patient's stomach like this, we pull it back and we put the sutures in the forceps, and where's my chewing gum, you see, and so on, and then we take the appendix and we go, you see, like this, do this, Now, on your term paper, give a description of an appendectomy. So they give him a description on appendectomy, they make the guy a doctor. And then you come along. Yeah, that's the asininity of the whole thing, you know. Or sometimes they let these guys intern, puddle around, you know. But that's supposed to have something to do with it. They make some vague effort. But the first thing you would ask in this thing that we're stressing is, was the information there being communicated? Yes. Was there a guarantee that the information was being received by the student? Yes. Could the student then perform effectively this taught skill? So the first thing we'd ask the psychiatrist, can you make people sane? Oh, the fellow says, well, what do you mean? Oh, I have a certificate here from the the Washington School of Freudian appendectomies and so forth. What do you mean? Can I make people? He'd like to get real mad. He's liable not to understand what the hell you're talking about. He actually has never moved his understanding that extra step. And not having moved his understanding that extra step, he doesn't realize that anything is ever expected of him with this information. And there's the trouble you have with a student in teaching Scientology skills. The guy says, well, I guaranteed to you that I received it. I proved it utterly, so you communicated it, I received it, and I certify that I've received it, and I can pass an examination on it, so therefore I have fulfilled all the requirements of Earth education. So therefore I ought to be graduated. And I come along and say, yeah, but can you make somebody sane, you know? Oh, the hell with that, you know? I mean, that's putting it too far. But understand that on this particular oblate spheroid, in this particular Sun 12 system, that question does really not form part of the professions. Oh, it may perform something on the order of artisan work. They very seldom let anybody get out of that because they got the bricks right in front of them. And they say, all right, build a pier, build a lancer-type arch. You know, the guy's been around. He can do this. So he can do this. But professional activities are not looked on in this way at all. And also, artisan skills are not looked on as teachingnesses. See, so they've just separated. They've just gone off in all directions. Now, you've got to realize, in Scientology education, not to drag on about this, that we are trying all three of those steps. Okay, we're trying to commute thought here to understanding here to performance there. See, there's the communication, the guarantee of receipt of the communication, and the performance of the skill. Now, we are in an interesting position to be able to do that because we can do interesting things. Even though you at St. Hill are find yourself out here on the far horizon and frontier of research, and you get messed up about it every once in a while. When I find out that you can't achieve certain results, why, I'm about the first one that finds it out. And you therefore get it all backed up right for the first step again, see? Well, this causes you randomity, there's no doubt about that, but you're approaching a point here where the precision with which a session can be done is not to be trifled with, frankly. We're in a type of auditing today where you, now this is a joke, where you can't miss. That's a joke. You can't miss in this type of auditing. There is no number four ring in the target. There is only a bullseye. We're in a type of thing today where you must not miss. I'll give you some kind of an idea of that. You could sit down, take almost any class one, old time process, not open the session at all, and sort of hold a guy in the chair, you see, with your hand, and say to him the first command of a bracket of some kind or another, some generalized bracket, you see, and go over and over this bracket, just repetitively, taking the bracket all the way through and repeating, get an answer to each one. And that's all you'd have to know how to do, and what do you know? I mean, you get a large number of the people you did this to would have a tremendous resurgence. Okay. Now we move up into just a little more complicated activity. And the second we go much more complicated than that, we get into rudiments. And the second we get into rudiments, we're in a must-not-miss area. There is no almost right action in Scientology auditing. It's worth knowing. There isn't an almost right action. There's no number four ring to the bullseye. There's only number five, the bull. One bullseye. You got to hit the bullseye every time. Because if you hit a near miss, you have accomplished a re-stimulation. You're handling so close into the heart of things that if you bypass it by just that much, you have re-stimulated the PC where he lives, man. You're auditing straight into the heart and core, you see, of aberration. You mustn't miss it. It's got to be dead on. Now, that doesn't apply so much to a prep check question. See, that can be looser. It doesn't apply so much to what zero you're using. You see, that could be looser. But boy, how you pick up a missed withhold, how you get the rudiments in. See, how you list, how you handle a list, how you get the PC out of session again. Those are bullseyes. Every one of them has to be a bullseye. Now, I'll give you an idea. More than one of you got an overwhelming reality this afternoon, and more of you are going to get an over-screaming reality tomorrow on the fact that you missed, somehow or another, a rewording of the beginning rudiments question. See, you missed on that. I'll take that up later tonight, you see. But you were not asking... You were asking, since the last time I audited you, or since the last session, have I missed a withhold on you? Well, it's already been, yes, a lot were doing it. And there's been a bulletin out for a long time, but not solely devoted to that. You see, it's down on the second page of the bulletin where that was changed. There was a change in model session a long time ago. And it was since... The last time I audited you, since the last auditing session I gave you, or whatever it was, have you done anything that you are withholding from me? A man, you'd say, that's not very much of a difference, you know? Well, boy, it was enough of a difference that at least two auditors this afternoon had the most marvelous sessions. Never had such a marvelous session. Because they used that right rudiment. And they got off this tremendous quality of material that had gone on between sessions, and before they had never touched this. In other words, we buried a datum. I buried a datum inadvertently on the second page, low down on a bulletin. It didn't come out as model session, comma, change in, urgent, vital, important, exclamation point, see? And we left a point where you could almost hit. Okay. Oh, you'd say, that's so close, that's number four ring of the bullseye, you're in a target. What are you crabbing about here? Nothing, except it wrecked every session where you didn't use it. That's all, because it re-stimulates. Okay. The Pixie couldn't quite wrap his mind around exactly what the auditor was asking. See, if I missed a withhold, oh, he hadn't missed a withhold on me. See? No, so no, and it didn't register on the meter. And all he'd done between sessions was break course regulations 1 to 25. Hardly anything, you know. And left the session halfway through with his PC and an ARC break. You see, he hadn't done anything, you know. And kicked the cat as he went out, you know. Hadn't done anything. And sure enough, since the last time I audited you, have I missed a withhold on you? No, wouldn't register. See, here's this whole chain of overts and sessions sitting straight on top of all this confusion. You can't have a near miss on these vital points, such as rudiments, whether beginning, middle, or end. No matter on the exact way you get the invalidations and missed withholds off, you know, and suppressions off things. In those zones and areas, you cannot miss. You must not miss. If there's any white at all between the bullseye and where your bullet goes, you have had it. Because you've actually picked into a restimulation. You've asked a restimulating question. You haven't got the answer to it. PC's going to go out of session. See, you're auditing too close to dead center. You see, if you weren't auditing close to dead center, if you're just auditing generally and so forth, why, you could sit there with your feet on the mantel and on the back of your neck in the armchair, you know, and move 1 foot down to shift the tone arm once in a while, you know, with your big toe. PC could sit there smoking cigarettes, you know, and I mean, actually, he'd make some gains. Class one type auditing, without any model session connected with it, no withholds, no overts, nothing like this going on and so forth, well, you can be sloppy as hell. Well, you move into this next grade of auditing, with a model session and so on, and boy, you've had it. All you have to do is just put that amount of white between the bullseye and your bullet. You have promptly got an interbulation that makes the volcanic upheavals of Kilauea look like stirring cold coffee. Scream! Everything will go out. See? Did you realize it was that critical? Well, it is. The moment that you move up into this type of stuff, which is going to give you fast case gains. Now, therefore, a partially trained auditor is about as safe to have around as one of these human bombs. A partially trained auditor. See, this guy at HPA, lowest grade level, you know, he got results. Then he doesn't know what happened. He went into this other grade, and he isn't quite sure what happened. But somehow or another, his PCs didn't get along well. You see what he did? He moved over toward the critical target. Inherent in that critical target is ultimate gain. There is no ultimate game inherent at all in this sloppy, floppy, generalized session. You see, that'll only go just a little distance and everybody's happy. But you start going for broke in this, you've got to come over to the main target. And swinging from the broad horizon over onto this main target is fraught with many difficulties. Now, in the understanding of that there is a bridging area between coming off from the sloppy, wide type of auditing over onto the very precise type of auditing, and understanding that that doesn't actually take place in a gradient. It takes place one broad horizon. See? Recall something that's really real to you. Thank you. See? This repetitive old scale process goes over to dead center in the bullseye. No transition. You transverse across no horizon. At one moment, you can sit there with your feet on the mantle, smoking the cigar and blowing it in your PC's face and getting away with it gorgeously. And then you are tapped on the shoulder and you're supposed to sit up in that chair and you're supposed to do it this, 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 and this, dead on, absolutely perfect. And of course, the process of making this transition is not to make you blow your brains out. It's ghastly. In the first place, the technology involved demands of you absolute perfection achieved in zero time. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble, trouble, trouble. The gradient scale, if there is any gradient scale, is the closer the auditor gets to being dead on the target, see, closer he gets to being dead on, the more trouble he is in. Now, therefore, the educational processes have to allow for this understanding. And we have just, I've just been cranking up the lineup and talking to the instructors and finding out what trouble you've been having and so forth. And we've altered the educational pattern. And I've given you now the reason why we have the educational pattern. And next one is that you must have at least three stages for any type of Scientology training that is earnest training. And that is represented in the three sections. These three sections are the theory section, the practical section, and the auditing section. Now, three sections does not mean three grades. We are so used to going into the first grade, and then the second grade, and the third grade, that if we have three sections, we're sort of used to going into the first section and third section, you know, in gradients. You don't do that. You're in all these three sections in Scientology training at the same time, with this exception that the earliest section doesn't have any auditing section in it. The auditing section is deleted. So in the earliest, lowest grade, you have a no auditing. What you have is a theory section and a practical section. And you're in that simultaneously. Now, your upper grade, of course, from that, the second he's got the obvious reason for this is the guy can't be permitted to audit at all, you see, until he has a little bit of theory and a little bit of practical, and then he can be permitted to audit. So you might have an auditing section in that which is devoted to something highly elementary or terribly simple that combines some of that skill and which cuts in late. So you see, it's not simultaneous. You see, after he gets this item, theory, and gets it practical, and this item, theory and practical, and this item, theory and practical, then, and only then, does the auditing section cut in, don't you see? And that would be true of all grades. Now, let me give you a much more general idea of this. You have a check sheet. Every student has a check sheet. He has a copy of in his own possession, but nobody counts on the student not losing it or going adrift. So the master check sheet, the one that you really pay attention to, is in the hands of the examiner, who is also the course administrator. And he is in charge of the theory section. He's the examiner of the theory section. And this check sheet he has for a grade, pardon me, a class. That is a class. It's a classification. Let us say that it is class 2A. It has three columns. And these columns are, from the left to the right, theory, practical, and auditing. So we have, over on the extreme left side, the item to be studied. If that is an HCOB, or a drill, or something or other. Now you understand that nearly everything you've got has both a theoretical write-up and a practical write-up. There are gaps in this at the present moment. Those gaps will rapidly be filled. But you've got then this like HCOB, first June, 1960, you see. Whatever it is, maybe some notation there, what it is. And then there's a little dotted, or a little bar line for the examiner to initial for theory. And then there's, next to that, to the right of that, there's another bar line for the practical instructor to initial. And then there's another bar line as to whether or not it's been audited under the auditing supervisor. Very simple. Now this new principle enters in, which you have not seen before, and you're going to find out that at first you will think this as working a hardship upon the PC, because it's going to penalize the PC auditing time, and it's going to apparently get in your road. But it's this way. We have always considered the auditing section to be inexorable. The auditing section has always been considered to be inexorable. No matter what else was going on, there was an auditing session that day, and the auditor was there, and the PC was there, don't you think? And that is the arbitrary which has made training difficult. That's the hidden arbitrary. We find that the auditor, let's take up the auditing session now, section. And the auditing supervisor finds out this fellow's prep checking, and he writes the what question out as zero, see, zero. And then he writes the what question, you see. And then he lists the various overts after that as he goes down the list, you see, and then gets maximum needle reaction, so he leaves it. And the auditing supervisor at this point, having inspected the fellow's folder and probably having looked in at the session, decides that this person should not be prep checking. So he posts it as a cancellation. It becomes a canceled session. Actually, in the exact administration, is the person who is doing the folders finds these GAEs, gross auditing errors, and writes up a cancellation list. They don't just write in it everything that is wrong with this. They write some comments on it, of course, but if they consider it a gross auditing error, then it is simply posted on the board, and the auditor would come in the morning, find his name posted there. That means the session he gives the PC is canceled. There is no session. They report to nothing, and they've got some time to study then. But under that, it says the item or the item numbers which must be reviewed. In other words, the auditing section has the right to require a second examination by theory and by practical on a point that has already been passed by theory and practical. You see? So he says this guy doesn't know from nowhere, so therefore we're not going to go on letting him butcher up a PC. We just cancel the session. But this, of course, gives the auditor time to look into it. That is, it gives the auditor the session, it gives him time to get his theory and practical. What we've been doing before, the session went on inevitably, and the fellow was auditing all day long, and he was auditing wrong, and he never had time to find out if he was auditing right, don't you see? Or how to audit. So that's a canceled session list. And it doesn't mean anything more than that. The session is canceled. Something's going wrong here. And usually what had to be done again would be written there. And then the theory supervisor can tap the student, or the student actually reading that, you see, as his session, you know, in which he is auditor, has been canceled, and for this bullet and that. His first action should be to use that auditing period, no matter how he stacked up otherwise, to just study that bulletin like mad and go in and pass it theoretical again. So he gets a theoretical pass on the material again, and then gets a practical pass. The practical section takes over from that. Now the full of the check sheets have to be available to the instructors and supervisors in the theoretical and practical, and when something has been checked out theoretically, it goes to practical, don't you think?
Exactly how that administration is made up between the theory section and the practical section is pretty well up to them. But it's also up to the student. Now, if he knows that he has had to pass the prep check bulletin or maybe a couple of prep check tapes that take up certain sequences or something, if he had to get those again, and he does get those, well, he knows doggone well that he had better report to the practical in order to get his practical, because he won't get back on auditing again until he does. Then he goes back on auditing as soon as he's passed these two things. I think you'll find the case gains are faster. Even though it's cost people some auditing time, you will find the general case gain is faster. That's the economy. It's because of this. You must hit the bullseye. You can't go in the number four ring, you see. Now, auditing sessions are for gain, not for practice. You see? But I received this from the technical activity in London. Do you want op pro by dupe in grade 1A? Do you want op pro by dupe and SCS flattened, or just run enough to find out if the student can run it in the auditing section? Imagine every HPA being partially flat on op pro by dupe and SCS. So we mustn't regard the auditing section as an interchangeable practical section. Yeah, in the practical section, you get him to do it long enough to find out if he knows how to do it. But the auditing section must hold up before the student at all times that this is for blood and nobody is going to hold his hand. And if there's too much arterial bleeding thereabouts, he is simply going to be amputated from the auditing section, you know, say, and put back through theory and practical until he gets there. Got the idea? This will cut down the amount of, quote, bad auditing, and so on. Now, this will work out this way in framing up sessions and in posting sessions. This will work out this way. We'll find that the person who is not giving auditing will get balanced out by not receiving any. See, that'll be a point that the person who is arranging the auditing section, see, the auditing section does the posting of the auditors and PCs. So supposing we have gotten halfway through a week and canceled an auditor. Well, this has penalized a PC, hasn't it? Well, the net result of that, if we just started in at the beginning of next week, you see, and we kept that same team going endlessly, why, we would be penalizing the PC all during the next week. So it means change of auditors, but auditors become more interchangeable, oddly enough, when you have a perfection of model session. That's more easily done. We're trying to hit a happy medium between not too many auditors per PC, and not everybody penalized. So if the fellow is actually giving auditing, why, we give him an opportunity to receive auditing by a rejuggle list on the next week's posting, don't you see? He's giving auditing, he receives auditing. We try to keep that rule in. It won't balance out well. You can't do it very easily or evenly with total justice, but you can attempt justice in that direction. Maybe attempt to make it as equitable as possible. For instance, you don't want somebody who is, his auditor has been off the auditing section for 3 weeks. The PC of that auditing section has not been off auditing section and has been delivering auditing for 3 weeks. So that's kind of a situation that had developed there. We don't want that type of situation to develop if we possibly can. This then brings out this interesting fact. If we try to keep an equity there, we try to keep it that people who are giving auditing also receive auditing, don't you see? It will obviously push your best students up closest to the top of the barrel. In other words, it works on a principle which Scientology itself has always worked on, or tried to, which is to make the more able more able. The tremendous gain gotten in the London County Council schools when we worked on the genius student was marvelous. You never saw the like of it. Some of the data on this is absolutely staggering, but the data was never really assembled and published for the excellent reason that Scientology was used for the backwards classes. Here's Scientology being used. Of course, it wiped out their backwards classes where it was used. But they thought that was marvelous. You see, Scientology is marvelous because, look, it's wiping out all the backwards classes. Well, this is a tendency of man, you see. Marvelous. But they never looked at this other fact, that when it was applied to geniuses in the school, these guys all of a sudden really started to fly. The amount of tremendous surge up the line in IQ and everything else, which these kids got. You see, the kid had started in with an IQ maybe of 118, you see, 120, something like this, and he'd wind up with an IQ of 185 or something. Something quite staggering, you know. Kid be bright's a dollar and doing earth arithmetic in his head. And marvelous resurgent. Nobody has ever paid any attention to that. But that is a factor which would become manifest if you started using this other principle. In other words, your better auditor would get more auditing. And the better auditor would be doing the auditing and getting the auditing. So therefore, you disconnect the whole time schedule on training from the schedule. Time has nothing to do with it. Or how fast does somebody get through these grades? Well, he gets through the grades as fast as he gets through the grades. So this then doesn't give you the exact amount of time in school, student to student to student, which is unfair anyway. But is liable to put somebody in an HPA or St. Hill class, you put him in here 3 months, and he's so clear that when he's jostled in the hall, he rings like a bell, you know? And he's got all of his check sheets and everything is gorgeous, and he goes home, you know? 1890, something like that, boy, you keep bumping into this shadow. And then somebody says, that isn't a shadow. That's a student from 1962. He just never did get up. The longest he was ever kept on an auditing section list was one morning. It was one morning in 1975 when they just had a new auditing supervisor, and he put him on that morning. He took him off that afternoon. At the same time, you wouldn't get a case being cut to ribbons, don't you see? You can actually get a case cut to ribbons with the stuff we're doing, see? So it requires to this much degree, particularly at St. Hill. Not quite as important in academy classes, because after all, they're doing these broad generalized processes. They don't swing in the model session until they've been there for quite a while. And you've got a different view. Now, the theory is that anything a person learns, he can learn to do better. Of course, there is a limit to this. There's a ceiling to where a person no longer is improving because he's not doing. There's nothing more ghastly. They found this during commando troops. The commandos were invented in World War II, early World War II, and in England. And they invented these fellows in order to make a strike back, and they did. They made a couple of minor strike backs across the channel after Dunkirk. It was quite interesting. And not very effective, but at least it was an aggressive action, which the British believe in militarily. All right. The army said, This was the Army commando that they were developing, you see. And the Army said, what can these commandos do that any platoon in my regiment can't do? And the commando stayed home. They were restrained thoroughly from further action until almost 2 years had gone by. The minor actions which they undertook were greatly impeded in the War Office. The War Office was not about to use any commandos. See? And those poor guys, there was only one worry about commandos after a while, is they were so overtrained with no doingness that they were just going raw rotten. That was it. They were just going to pieces. They had been trained, and 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 they never got a chance to perform any of their skills. And that was the basic trouble with commandos, and the basic worry about commandos was the fact they never got any doingness. It was very interesting. You'd have thought the trouble with commandos is commando casualties in any landing were 50%. You'd have thought that was the main trouble with commandos. Who the hell would join them? No, that wasn't the case. It was just never letting them lose their 50%. Such is the idiocy of men. But the point here is that you can't have practice with no doingness. But in Scientology training, you must not have doingness with inadequate practice. So there's a happy balance educationally. Now, of course, there are many fields of endeavor here on Earth where you couldn't permit these three steps to take place. I don't mean the three sections, but the communication thought-wise, the fact that the fellow had received it, in other words, he gives you proof that he has received it, and at the far end can actually do it in a practical way, those three sections wouldn't work on every endeavor here on Earth, because look at nuclear physicists. He's being trained to blow up the planet, and there's just one planet, you see, and so on. However, we're not in that state. I want to point out to you that there are 2.5 billions plus Homo sapiens, and we're not going to run out of targets this particular way. Nor is it a wasteful activity, as in psychiatry. They have one case, you give a psychiatrist one case, you then have one less case. You see that it goes the other way. It's a matter of a sort of an attrition. The way they handle insanity is some way that Hitler was trying to handle the Jewish problem. I think that these things are direct analogy. I don't know quite how, but true, you see. They were getting rid of, not insanity, they were getting rid of the insane. And they, one for one, you see. Well, their supply will run out if they keep that up, you see. So that's not a, I wouldn't say that was a, an endeavor. Your supply will never run out because after everybody gets clear, of course, they want to be aberrated again. And not particularly true. But, somebody, we used to gag about that in a couple hundred years. Our biggest study was how to get people aberrated. Clear everybody. Anyway, we demand then somebody that he get an intellectual grasp of the situation, that he can demonstrate the second one stage is that the intellectual, the theoretical, he has understood it to a point where he can apply it practically, and then we let him do it. And there are your three stages, and they follow out the definition of education as we have it. Now, the faults of this particular system lie in these zones. The person who is having the most difficulty passing the examination is most in need of auditing. That's a flaw in the system. And he's going to have the hardest time because, of course, he's going to get the least auditing. Now, it's very interesting. You get to living with each other and rubbing elbows with each other, and you get on up the line, and you get variously tolerant and intolerant of each other's aberrations and that sort of thing. What's quite interesting, though, the change is gradual, and sometimes quite spectacular, but you become somewhat conditioned to seeing change, and you don't pay much attention to it in a unit of this particular time. And you don't notice the effect auditing does have. I give an aside here, even the stinking auditing that you've been doing lately. So that's on parenthesis. Anyhow, cut that out of tape. But it's this. You want to take a look at the training records, the theoretical section records. When we went on to CCHs, we do nothing but CCHs at that particular time. We weren't even involved in the thing. Of course, this is one of these broad horizon processes. You can do CCHs standing on your head, something's going to happen. Have somebody patting walls, something's going to happen. No model session about it. We weren't using anything, hardly. And I think it was a couple of weeks before I even showed you how to do two-way comm. You know, and CCHs got better after that. But the funny part of it is, did you know that the first week you were doing CCHs here, you know that your passes went up something like about 300%? You don't notice some of these things about auditing, but that's quite interesting. Fantastic. Well, of course, this argues against this and shows you that there is a flaw in doing things this way, because naturally, if the fellow's having an awful hard time passing his theory and his practical, obviously he needs some auditing. That's obvious, isn't it? That's obvious. And the whole system, from time to time, of training, systems we've had in the past, have fallen to pieces because people did realize the Marxist system of training was best. He getteth auditing according to his need, and giveth auditing according to his ability. You know, it's the Marxist system of taxation. To everyone according to his need, from everyone according to his ability to pay. And if I can just get those nuts over in America and England to put this into effect in their taxation systems, we won't have to worry about them anymore. And they're getting closer and closer to not worrying about them anymore. That's directly out of Das Kapital, by the way. And the system of taxation adapted in the last 30, 40 years by the Western nations. Well, look, it just doesn't work. He getteth auditing according to his need. He giveth auditing according to his ability to audit. So we take all the good auditors, you see, in a training unit, and we work them to death, you see, auditing all the bad auditors. And the bad auditors don't do any auditing at all, you see. And the good auditors get no auditing at all. And then because the good auditors are auditing awful cases, you see, with limited skills, they're still in a training stage. You see, they compound the number of losers they get. So they get sort of hopeless, you know. We say to this fellow, all right, now you've learned all about skiing. You've read a book here. You've passed an examination on this book about skiing. That's good. Now we've passed this examination on skiing. Now, you've gotten through your practical. You've shown that you can put both skis on without falling on your face. Very good. Now, there's the top Mont Blanc. Now, ski up there and ski back. Of course, the guy says, you know, I feel like I've had a lose. He has, too, because if all of your best auditors are auditing all of your worst students, of course, they never have a chance to get a little win. They're actually being asked, it's being asked of limited and faint little skills that you get early on, you see, to climb the whole hill on a student who's particularly rough. So that Marxist principle does not function or work or apply in Scientology training. It can't. Now, if the auditor has been on the books too long, it isn't the DFP, the DFT's signature on the bottom that requires that he get auditing. It's whether or not he has been for a long time on his check sheet without ever getting over into the auditing section. And if he's been an awful long time on his check sheet without getting into the auditing section, you solve it this way. You turn him over in a central organization to the HGC. That's the way you do it in an academy. They say, well, son, you better go and get 25 hours from the DFP. They have a student rate over there, and that's it. Because you've been this many years, here it is, 1972. That's the way you heal this. You don't heal it according to this other. The second that you do use that Marxist principle of apportionment of auditing, you've had it. Because your good auditors will just be audited into a hole, and the bad ones are receiving all the training, and you're just doing the same as the London County Council did. All right, so what do you do on a course like this? How do you straighten this out on a course like this? Well, actually, there's some little basic processes, some earlier grade processes, and what you do after a person has been on is downgrade the person's class. They never seem to be able to get onto an auditing section. They've been going too long without auditing. You downgrade their auditing class for an auditing section. You let them do something like a straight having this process without rudiments or something after the auditing section supervisor has found what the having this process is or something. In other words, you throw a kindergarten unit in there. So they don't go forever without auditing. HPA, HCA, some old DFT look with horror at this. We read over this, a new sheet out here. May 21st, it isn't complete either because there may also be a Class 1C in the academy containing the upper grade repetitive processes which have been halfway done here under 1B. That's weighting 1B too heavily. So there may be another grade be put in there. But somebody here at St. Hill, and he'd been going forever, and his theory, and he wasn't passing his practical, and he isn't getting into the auditing section, you see. He isn't getting in there at all, and that's piling up, and you look at the date, comparable dates, and so forth. You can drop him down to a lower grade of auditing. And, of course, you always have 4, 5, 6 students that character. You can make a small auditing group on some repetitive action, which will pick them up a bit, and they can go through, but it'll have to be this one that can shoot the broad horizon. Don't let them, let me call to your attention, don't let them do it in model session. You can have them let them have a meter on their lap so it can hold an ashtray or something. But don't let them fool with meter reads or something like that. Do something minor like, the tone arm keeps moving, you keep on saying this. You get the idea. That's about as close you get to it. I don't mean to make nothing out of that, Greg, because remember, we went on for years with nothing but repetitive processes. We know a lot about it now. We know at least you stop auditing when the tone arm stops moving. We didn't used to know that, you know. And we've gotten smart through the years. Anyway, that gives you a rundown on training. I think it looks rather simple to you, doesn't it? The only change that it makes, as far as you're concerned, is you just get the grade you are studying for on one sheet. And you will get credited everything you have passed, no matter what sheet it occurs on, so don't worry about that too much. But you can expect in the very, very near future, I don't know if we'll be able to get this rolling Monday, but we'll try. You can expect to see out here on the bulletin board your cancel session list. And so look there before you go someplace else. Don't sit there for 2 hours waiting for the PC to show up. He saw the cancel session list. Oh, you wouldn't do that. Anyway, that's... Now, the springboard of all this is look, we've got terrifically precise actions. It'll do tremendous things. There is no doubt about it whatsoever. But for a new articulation of it, my study of it in recent weeks has demonstrated more and more clearly to me that we cannot miss. You know, I mean, that's a nice colloquialism. We say, well, we just can't miss with Scientology. That's sure true, you know, we can't miss with Scientology. We've got to put it right through the bullseye. And that the more auditing we permit, which is offbeat auditing, why, the longer it takes to get the cases moving. So the techniques which you're actually using do not consume large numbers of hours. They are fast. If you handle them expertly, and well, you can get very rapid results with them. So it's sort of on the line, as long as we don't have a grind out, well, when we turn this fellow loose at a certain level, well, let's make sure he knows how to do it. And then he will get the gain which is inherent in that level rather rapidly. And we won't get PC damage that is going forward. Also, it winds up that you will have less restricted auditing space. And it gives you probably more attention in the auditing section because there possibly be fewer auditing. But the thing to do is, if you see your name posted as on the cancel session list, it means you, as the auditor, are supposed to review whatever is listed after your name. And in theory, straight away, and as soon as you've done that, why, in practical, and then you go back getting a session, to being given the session again. That way we're not letting the PCs absorb all of the shock involved with somebody asking them as we come down the line, we get to the withhold question in the beginning, Rudes. And they say, well, now let's see, I have, since I last saw you, have you missed a withhold on me? No. And I think when we see that, I think it's time we send somebody back to model session rather than let the PC absorb all the shock of it. You see, our instructors are absolutely shock-proof. They can receive an unlimited amount of shock. They can get up to the 100 billion megatron shock, you see. So if they're there, you see, to take all the bang. And of course, when they can't receive it, they just fall back on me and I can, so that's dead easy. Because back at me, there's nothing. So you haven't then had all the training taken out on you. Your theory section is the first part of it, the communication. Your practical section is the demonstration that you can put it into action. And then the third part of it, you can demonstrate your absolute and complete ability to get results with it. And that sums up the purpose of the training we're doing. And I think you'll find that is much more digestible. And if anything, I probably should apologize to you for taking this long to figure it all out. But then, of course, you see, I didn't have all the mistakes you're making in order to correct, so I didn't know the right answer until just now. So I thank you for your contribution. Take a break.